So I've been thinking about fathers, and my heart has been kind of just heavy towards fathers. I mean, for fathers. Because something I realized, the effect of fatherless in our society. You know, Father's Day is a time in which we recognize fathers, but also father figures in their, you know, in their contribution in children or in anybody's life. You know, for example, some of us here, or maybe if you're watching online, you might not be a father. You know, today might be a tough day for people who, you know, who hope to have a physical kid but can't have them. But I tell you, you don't have, you know, being a father has more to do than giving a sperm. Can I have a witness? Because we know we have people, we have guys that had kids, but are not fathers. I thank God for my father. I forgive him. But Kendra and I, we were talking this morning. We said, today is another day for me to just get healed again from having a poor father when I was growing up. Maybe you had a good father. Praise God. You know, or maybe you didn't have a father. You know, and this morning what I want to share with you, I want it to be relevant for all kinds of people. And the more I think about father, I'm like, man, there's nothing like heavenly fathers, our heavenly fathers. You know, that's why I want to talk to you about the fatherhood of God. Fathers who give hope. God is our heavenly father. You know, the more I think about it this week, I was reminded of a sermon teaching by Miles Monroe, where he talked about an article. In the article, he talks about a beautiful house. I want you to picture a beautiful house. You know, some of you here are contractors. You know how to build homes, you know. You don't build a beautiful home unless you really work on the foundation. You know, a perfect house, I should have some slide on the screen. But a house without a foundation is condemned. The fatherhood of God. A house without foundation is condemned. You know, and a quote, this quote from Billy Graham says, you know, a good father is one of the most unsung. If you look on your bulletin, I put it on there. God is our heavenly father. You know, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And then I grieve. Those are some great quotes. I grieve, you know why? Because there's a pandemic we never talk about. COVID came, and I tell you, still, COVID is devastating. A lot of people lost their loved one. A lot of people died during COVID. COVID is terrible. It's a spirit of death. COVID is a spirit of destruction. I don't like COVID. COVID caused people to, I mean, I told you this already. Two of our friends we used to do mission with in Haiti, one of them is a doctor, committed suicide. You know, but for someone to get to the stage to kill yourself, I mean, that's like the bottom of the bottom. There's no hope. How many people died? How many people love their husband? You know, I've got a neighbor who lost her husband during COVID. You know, during COVID, we had to shut down our service for a couple months. We had to miss work. You know, people learned how to work remotely. Why? Because there was a pandemic. There was a disease that everybody was aware of. It grieves me because the greatest crisis in our nation, development is not a lack of money, nor a lack of investment, or even crime, or unemployment. But behavior scientists have proven that the greatest crisis in any nation or any country is the absence of fathers. That's a big crisis. Nobody wants to talk about. You see, that's why, I don't know, man. As a church, I want us to go all in when it comes to support the crisis pregnancy center. And I'm not talking about financially supporting. I'm talking about let's have a group of 12 of us. You won't have time, but we need to get in those classes and help train the fathers. Be with the fathers. Fatherlessness is a pandemic. Pandemic. Fatherlessness is a pandemic. Pandemic. That's why Billy Graham, he said, a good father is most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet the most valuable. Just like a house, a beautiful house, won't stand if it doesn't have a firm foundation. So we do have a crisis, not only in America, but in many countries in the world. You know, and the thing is, we're seeing people trying to redefine things they didn't give a definition, right? It's hard for people to define a marriage. You know, marriage, I mean, talking about that, I mean, you go ahead and keep doing your research. People are saying, well, one kid can have two mothers. It's impossible. You just like you can't have two fathers. God created them male, female. They both come together, and then they start a family. And you wonder why our society is the way it is. I know today might be a very difficult day for a lot of people. That's why I'm not focusing on earthly fathers. Please, if you are here like me and you had a terrible father, I get it. Let's forgive them. They couldn't offer us much more. They were selfish. Not only that, some of us suffers because of our mothers too. See, that's the thing. Sometimes even abortion, not candidate, that's a bad word, wrong word. Being an advocate, you know, standing in the gap for the unborn. But most of the time we put emphasis on the ladies. But we forgot the ladies can't do it by herself. It takes two. You know, so for those of you that are young kids here, young men here, you want to become good fathers. Today, again, as a father, I took another commitment to be good fathers to my kids. To be a father like my God. To be like a father like Father God. What did we sing? I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think. Do you know some people don't want anything to do with God as a father because of their earthly fathers? You don't like God is my father? No way. I told you my story. I remember the first time I read the Bible in Exodus, actually, where it says, children, honor your father and your mother. I took my pen. I go like this. I covered the word father. I covered it. And I was so genuine, you know, young Christian, I was receiving the word. I'm like, okay, God, this is good, but not father. There's no way I'm going to honor my father. You know, we're talking about fatherlessness being a pandemic. Here are some statistics to remind our mindset. When you feel like you're bored, you don't know anything, you don't know how to pray. Please, there it is. Oh, pray for the orphans. Pray for people who wish to have a father. Pray for people, I mean, all of us here, we had a father. Every father, every human being had a father. All of us, we long for the love of our Father, right? Oh, yeah, I do. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about myself. Sometimes I got mad because I'm like, how could my Father couldn't just love me? He didn't know how to. You know, the fatherless epidemic just in America is affecting more than 20 million. You know what's an epidemic? It is a negative phenomenon affecting many people of a community or area or country. And right now, well, who's standing in the gap for the fatherless? We as a church of Christ, we as the body of Christ, we as the people of the kingdom, we need to continue to stand in the gap. You see how people are just destroying, killing. Why? Because they're looking for love. They don't have their identity. I didn't have a chance to verify that again, but I remember a couple years ago I read, genuinely speaking, the first word of a baby is dada. And they said, the reason why, it's because the father speaks or brings identity into a child. I mean, I see it in our family. Kendra spent a lot of time with the kids. But the kids, they caught on my action. I mean, sometimes the things I see, I said, discourage them or encourage them. At work. Some of you are teachers. You being a father for those kids. You know how many kids? Just for example, in our midst, Dan, how many kids he fathered in the past years? No wonder when he comes home, he's all pooped. He comes to home group, he's ready for a nap. Right, Dan? Check if he's sleeping right now. Pick on him. You know? Your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor's daughter, son, needs a father. And right now, God has bought you. Or maybe this young man you met. This young person, you know, whatever the person is. And when I'm talking about father, I'm also making reference of mothers, even if it's not Mother's Day. You know, this pandemic also affecting the physical, emotional. My next slide. I mean, this is something for us to pray about. It's like, Lord, have mercy. Children from fatherless home are more likely to be poor, become involved in drug and alcohol abuse, drop out of school and suffer from health and emotional problems. I mean, I can only imagine how exhausted it is if Roxy would just sit around and tell me some of the stories about she encountered of those kids in fatherless and motherless or parentless home. How come nobody's just screaming or doing something about this? I was being hesitant, or I was just like, man, I'm not going to say it, but I am going to say it. But this is not my personal, it's just something I'm saying. All life matters, just like white lives, black lives matter. I'm not being political correct right now, okay? So please, don't be with me, okay? And if you're watching online, I'm just saying God created all of us, and we all matter. And if we should fight for life, we should fight for every life. And I'm like, man, I see how people are so animate about their stinking dogs. Now, I know animal lovers, I'm stepping on your toes right now because your dog is not stinking. Because your cat is very beautiful, it's very cute, okay? Or your bunny, or whatever animal you have at, or your rabbit, whatever you have at home. I get it, okay? All right, I get it. I'm an animal lover too. Okay? So just bear with me. But what I'm saying is, how is it possible for anybody in their right mind to be like, all right, we're going to vote a law and make it legal for a woman to be able to legally abort their 9 months baby. Guys, this stuff should break our hearts. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I'm like, God, that's why I said, Father's Day, oh man, I feel like I have a burden. So what I did in the past couple of days, I just go in my Father's embrace and I call. I'm like, Lord, I've been listening to this song all day yesterday. You're a good, good Father. I need God's love. I need God's embrace. You need it. I still would love for my father to say, man, I'm so proud of you. Still today, my dad doesn't know how to love. He doesn't, I mean, he's still very selfish. He needs Jesus yet. We pray for the day maybe on his deathbed he will give his life to the Lord. But he's still trying to figure it out. You know, I wish all my brothers they watch our service. I wish all of them happy Father's Day. The fatherhood of God. You know, recently my dad decided he's gonna come to the States and stay. It's been what, 2 or 3 months? He came. He's in Brooklyn. He's got 6 sisters there. So he came instead of like, oh, you know what, guys, Haiti's crazy. I'm not going back. I have a visa, my legal status, I can only be here for 6 months, so I'm not going back. He's the only boy among 6 sisters. So they were like, well, okay, sure. But how do we go around and get you to be legal? Well, if we do it, it's going to take 12 years. That's too long. You know, what if something happened? You know, we're talking. That's too long. My dad is what, 72, 75? By the time you get it, you'll be 82. I mean, that's like, what's that, you know? So then they call me. Because from all of us kids, by the grace of God, I'm the only one that choose to really forgive and kind of give him chance for a relationship. Because of Jesus. I choose. Like I said, today, I don't feel like calling him, but I will. I don't feel like honoring him, but you know, it's just like, Father's Day, if your father's around, you better call him. Let him know that you appreciate him. Because if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be on this earth. If you're a bad father, this is a good time to reflect on the fatherhood of God. So then I took a trip to New York a couple weeks ago with the pastors. I went to visit my dad. So I got there. Oh, man, my dad was saying all these lies. Crazy stuff. To get his sisters to really feel compassionate about him staying. And guys, I was so mad. I hated him again. I hate him in my heart again. I had like bitterness again towards him. So I came home. So I'm venting on my wife. I'm like, you know what? This is it. I mean, this guy is screwed. As a matter of fact, I'm not filing for him because I can file for him for a legal status for him to become a resident. It'll take 6 months. I said, I'm not doing it. I made my choice. I have decided I'm not filing. That I'm not filing. Oh, guys, thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. I thank God. That's why I love this song. You know, I have seen many searching for answers far and wide. And I know we are searching for answers even today. But only God, our Father, can provide those answers. You see, that's why I go to my Father God. That's why today, the world's talking about Father's Day. People are having mixed feeling about Father's Day. Whether your father passed or whether you are a father or you've got kids, you know, spiritual kids, emotional kids, kids you're ministering to at work. You know, this is a day for us to be like, okay, as human fathers, we all fell short. I'm going to focus on my Heavenly Father. So when I told Kendra about my decision, I mean, she told me a very simple answer. She gave me a very simple answer. She said, I don't know if she remembers, she said, you know, this is not judgment time. Because I want to judge my dad for what he's done, for being such a liar, such an evil guy. I want to judge him. And right now, I can. Guess what? He's going to be illegal. I feel good about it. It's going to be in 6 months. In 2 months, he's going to be illegal here in America. So you go ahead. You know, and so all my aunts, my aunts are very nice. They're calling. They're like, you know what? Some of them are like, could you please? And I said, well, you guys are just asking me, when did he ask me? So then I start having an attitude. It takes dying to yourself to follow Jesus, sincerely. It takes dying to yourself. Don't take vengeance for yourself. Don't try to revenge. Let God do it. I mean, I dealt with that a whole week. I'm like, man, Jesus, I just want to revenge right now. God, I've got it. There is a time for me to just, this is my time right now to show my dad, hey, guess what? I'm not doing it. Oh, I encountered Jesus, my Father, my good, good Father. Then he changed my heart. And you know what? I'm doing it. I've talked to a lawyer. This week, I'm going to file for my father. Wholeheartedly. Does he deserve it? Oh, no. I don't think he does. But does he deserve honor? Oh, yes, he does. You know why? Because he is my father. That's tough stuff. And when you realize some of the kids out there that are poor because of their father. They abuse drugs because of a home without a parent. They are physically and emotionally unhealthy. Of teen pregnancy. Janet can tell us all about this. 70% of teen pregnancy. So if you're a young lady here, and I know we've got some young girls, you're not married yet. If you're a young girl, you're watching online, just wait. Don't go sleep around. Don't go sleep around. Until the guy put a ring in it. Yeah, this is the kingdom gospel right there. This is not old school. It's to protect yourself. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, you make my heart melt. Well, guess what? It's okay. Your heart can melt. But guess what? You ain't touching it till there's a ring on it. It's to protect yourself. And you young men, you do the same thing. Why? Because you want to be responsible fathers. That's what you want to be. You know, there are two reasons I believe people need a fresh revelation about the fatherhood of God today. One is that I believe all human fatherhood should be patterned on the divine fatherhood. You see, I want to father the rest of my kids, my spiritual kids, according to the fatherhood of God. That's what I want to be a good father, a good shepherd. I want to be a little good shepherd. You know, I'm spiritual fathers too. So I want to be a good spiritual father according to the word of God. The pattern, my pattern should be how God fathered us. Although we are imperfect, but God has made it possible for me and you to be good father. Reason number two is I begin, reason number two that I choose to talk about fatherhood of God, it like I said earlier, it makes what I'm talking about relevant to all of us. Because there might be people here or out there that are sad because, you know, today everybody's talking about fathers. Over Mother's Day, I talked to somebody. She's like, I hate Mother's Day. I mean, you should have seen her face. She was so bitter. She said, I hate Mother's Day. I said, really? Why? She's like, well, what's so special about Mother's Day? Then I find out she's just very bitter towards her mom. She was very bitter towards her mom. A father is the one that is present, observable, and someone you can imitate. You see, God is a very present help all the time. Jesus, our Father, is always there. I call, whenever I'm feeling low, I call his name. Whenever I'm feeling lost, I call his name. He's my way. He's the light. You see, it's totally impossible to emulate or imitate someone that's not present. And I can tell you, most people out there today, if they would use this definition, a definition of father, if someone's like, oh, what's a father? A father is someone who's present. A father is someone who's observable. A father is someone who you can imitate. Most people would be like, well, I don't have a father. Because growing up, as a matter of fact, when I start having kids, there are certain things I said, well, I'll never be like my dad. But do you know there are things you inherit from your parents? And I find out, oh man, if it wasn't for God, I would be a lot like my dad. If it wasn't for the DNA, that's why I tell you, if you're feeling fatherless, you have a heavenly father who wants to love on you today. You see, with God's love, with God's love, I'm able to love my kids. I'm able to love my church. I'm able to love my own father. Good or bad? This is the kingdom's gospel. You know, a lot of people grew up in a home where, you know, they had guys who slept in the house, you know, when the moms got many different husbands. Was it you that was telling me a story of a guy who had like three or four siblings and he went to a school and, you know, sometimes during the school year there was a meeting where some of the kids had, you know, some kind of talk and he found out some of the kids had one mom and one dad. And then he's like, really, how's that possible? Because in his life, his mom always had a bunch of guys coming through. He's got siblings. Each sibling is four guy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine child, kids growing up in such environment? That's a pandemic nobody's talking about. I think today we should have a big march. I think we should have a month against fatherlessness in this country. Let's just keep it in our concept of America. We should have a month of fatherlessness, against fatherlessness. A week against, you know, people advocating against that. Because that's destroying our society. You remember back in the days, people used to respect their elders. Now kids, they don't respect their teachers. Your teacher represent your parents. Used to. Not anymore. I hear it's very difficult to be a teacher right now. So questions for you out there. As a father or parent, would you want your child to imitate you? This question, I thought about it this morning. I'm like, would I want my son to imitate me? Do I want, as a young man, Connor, do I want Connor to imitate me? Paul told Timothy, he said, follow my example. Do as I do. See how I do it. Our goal as fathers is to do the same thing. I read from Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 16. It talks about the spirit of adoption. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. How many children of God we have here? Amen. Oh, I am a child of God. That's why we were sighing right there, meditating on that little song right there. It says, this is my God. This is my Father. Oh, this is the one we've been waiting for. Which one? One who would accept us the way we are. Who does that? Only God. You see, sometimes people think God is just this. God is our friend. Jesus said, I call you friends. I don't call you slaves. But do you know God is a very disciplined gentleman? God is the God of principles. Everybody wants God to be this cool dude, you know, who approves of everything. You know, oh, God is cool, man. God is really cool. I tell you, God is really cool. But He can't approve of everything. God is the God of principles. You know, a good parent is a parent that disciplines their kids. The Bible says God disciplines those He loves. So if you grow up in a home, or if you have parents, then they're finally like, oh, you know what? I give up. I hope you search for their counsel. You don't want your parents to give up on you, no matter what their age. You see, the word Abba Father means source, foundation, roots. It means a genetic pool. Well, that's the word I couldn't remember this morning. Genetic. That's why I said earlier, a father is more than just a sperm donor. A father is a position. The good news is God can become your father today. God is my father. If you're out there, you don't know God, receive Him from your heart. Accept Him as your father. He wants to be your father. I read from John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, a father to the fatherless. God is a father. We sang it earlier. God is the father to the fatherless. A defender to the widows. God who dwell in His holy place. God set the lonely in families. He leads out prisoners with singing. But rebellious live in sun-scorched land. So God, His heart is very close to the orphans. I pray today, as sons and daughters of the Lord, you would just be reaffirmed again. Oh, my God loves me. The fatherhood of God. Encourage yourself in this. Encourage yourself in this. Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. It is possible for us, even in our unwanted circumstance, to not want. Because we have all we need in a good, good Father. Can you believe that? Can you receive that? I have all I need in my good, good Father. Just like I want to hear my physical father say, Cardo, man, I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm so proud of you. You know, if you still have kids, or if you've got kids in your life, sometimes you say, hey, I'm proud of your achievement. Because they might not have that physical father in their life to say it. Your kids, it doesn't matter if they're 65. Let me tell you this. They still want to hear it from you. Because you, as old as you are, you still would like to hear your father saying it. It does something to us. It reaffirms us. It reaffirms our identity. Our God, our Father, this morning is saying, Connor, oh, I'm so proud of you. Jim, I'm so proud of you, son. Kendra, I am so pleased with you. That's what he's saying. It's like, Mercer, man, I got you. I'm so proud of you. And you're like, whoa, what have I done? What have I done? You see, that's the mindset. Because our mindset, we think, well, our fathers or our parents, they approve of us when we do the things they expect. You see, now, saying this might also challenge some of us parents to change our mindset, to stop loving our children conditionally. Conditionally. I mean, if you have, most of you have grown up kids, there's nothing like having a kid that blows the box for you, right? It's like that kid just like blew all of your expectations. I mean, not only that, they do it, they flat out doing it, and they let you know what? I don't care. What are you going to do? Let me tell you what you should do. I've learned it. You better keep your love on. You better keep your love on. You know why? Because your Father in heaven, that's what he does with you. When you blow it, when you screw up, and we all screw up all the time, he still loves us. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but the way you treat them, rather bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Something that really breaks my heart again in this culture or in other culture is, you know, parents think, well, the more I give my kids, the more they know I love them. So they spoil them. That is so wrong. Get the kids to work. Get them to have a job. They want a phone? Get them to find a job. Get them to pay for their phone. I should look at my camera right now. You know, and if you're a young kid right now, you're probably not liking me right now. But I love it to see my kids working hard. They're earning it. Could I help them? Sure, I could help them. Could I buy Alyssa's car? I could. But it's amazing when she pays for it. It's amazing when instead of getting her to go buy at the bank, and I lend her the money with free interest. How about that? That's not being a stingy father. That's teaching them responsibility. And that's what we lost in this society. Parents think, well, the more I give my kids, and guess what? They're never there. The kids they've got nannies, they've got daycares, and then they pick them up. They give Johnny his mac and cheese. Then they say, Johnny, go brush your teeth, go to bed. And then they do that again, 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 again. And then, of course, there's a huge disconnection between Johnny and parents. And you wonder why Johnny, when he would grow up, don't want anything to do with you. It breaks my heart. And it gives me another, today, give me another, just reinforce my passion to pray for fatherlessness in this country. You don't know how to pray? Well, you pray that. You pray for fathers. And I want to finish with this. The visual theology of fatherhood, the fatherhood of God. I like this. This is just a pie. I don't know if we're going to eat pie later on today. But this would be a good day to have some cheesecake. All right? You know, the fatherhood of God, you know, this is what God did for us. Graciously adopt us. You know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In John chapter 8, it says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Not everybody has the privilege to call God their Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit of God bear witness to your spirit, you are son and daughters of God. You see, anybody who's not son and daughters of God, they know they're not son and daughters of God. Just like people that are sons and daughters of God, they know. Why? Because the Spirit of God bear witness in your spirit. You know it. You're born again. You just know. You know, you become a son of the light. That's why for all of us that are sons and daughters of God, when we stumble in darkness, you see, our whole bone cracks. I don't know about you. When I stumble on darkness, like if I'm in a situation where either I'm making choices in my mind or, you know, back in the days, we're talking about way back in the days, you know, or even today, like when I was dealing with my dad these past weeks, I knew when I go to the Lord, I'm like, yeah, there's this thing I'm fighting with. God graciously adapts us. So therefore, the result, we become God's children. If you confess the Lord Jesus as Christ Jesus as your Lord, confess Him in your mouth, and believe that He was raised from the dead, the Bible says you become children of God. I love what it says in John 8:42. It says, if God were your father, Jesus told the Pharisees, if God were your father, you would love me. So how do we follow God? How do we follow Jesus? You love Him. Matthew 7:11. Oh, that's good stuff. The privilege of prayer and the promise that God will work all things together for those who loves Him. You know, God works everything together for sonship, for those who are His son. That's why displace the spirit of orphan in your mind. If you think you have to perform for God, tell you, repent from that. Nothing you can do to earn God's grace. And there's nothing you've done. So now, this, what I'm saying right now, gives you a revelation to do what pleases Him. Because to please God has nothing to do with following a bunch of laws. I love Him. You know why I please God? Because I love Him. I mean, when you have a son or a daughter, or in your relationship, marriage, I mean, sometimes you don't want to please your mate. But because of love, what do? You do it anyway. Because the crazy things you do for love. You know, just go out there and pick a poop somewhere to spread on a garden. You know, it's like, I don't like it. But guess what? My little woman is so passionate about her garden, and it's good. It's making a lot of food, saving us a lot of money. The things you do for love. Because I love God, what am I going to do? I'm going to honor my father, whether he deserve it or not. I'm going to respect my father, whether he deserve it or not. That's the gospel. You know, I know a lot of time people talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit, or we being a spirit-filled church. You know, being a spirit-filled church has nothing to do with, you know, we're singing, we're raising our hands, you know, we're dancing, you know, we're speaking in tongues. Well, that too. You know how you know we're a spirit-filled church? Yes, by the way we love, by the way we apply the word. You know you're a spirit-filled Christian by the way you apply God's word in your life. Because the moment you stop applying God's word in your life, guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit, through your conscience, is going to tell you, hey, Johnny, what are you doing? That's not good. And the more you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more you'll be able to conquer sin. You know what's the other piece? Lovingly pursues. God pursued us. If a man has 100 sheep, it says in Matthew, and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for the one that's lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, he will rejoice over it more than over the 1999. The 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So God loves to pursue people. You know, I pray that as you encounter, you know, people we call sinner, but we are sinners. You know, don't judge them. love them, powerfully protected. God protect us. You know, and this, I won't have time to read it. But God, I love Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 22 to 30, where God's talking about the people. He's like, he says, I myself will teach you. I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to take care of you. The day will come, I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. The Lord powerfully protects us, so therefore we have eternal security. Generously provides. God is our provider. You know, last week, I don't know if Angie's watching now, but maybe she'll watch this later. But I thank God for Angie, who stepped in and brought the word. Were you blessed? I tell you, I listened to it. I'm like, yes, Lord, I thank you for giving us the resources here. She spoke from her heart. But you know, there's something she said. You know, I understand, you know, gas is going crazy. But be reminded that the Bible says the just will live by faith, not by your work. You be good stewards. You take care of your money. You work hard. But guess what? As gas going up, if gas going $20 an hour, $20 a gallon, God's willing it doesn't happen. But because God is my resource, I will be able to afford it. Oh, guess what? I'm going to get that little bicycle. I might have to leave my house a couple hours earlier to come to church. But guys, I am so serious. The just will live by faith. Have you been justified? Yes. So therefore, I'm not going to be afraid. I don't operate out of fear. Oh man, I can't believe it. A loaf of bread is $15 now. Guess what? Thank you, God, that I can still buy it. Instead of complaining. Thank God for my work. Lord, thank you. Thank you for still proving. I mean, he's Jehovah Jireh. He'll never. You sing it all the time. It's time for us to believe it and live it. That's what it says here. Generously provides. So God cares. And that's what it says in Matthew chapter 7. It says, man, look at us. We're human. When our kids ask for bread, do we go outside and say, hey, here, eat. Pick them a piece of bread. A rock. Say, here, eat. No. When our kids ask us for bread, we make sure we give them bread. We don't give them stone. We provide. Says for more, our Heavenly Father, when we ask Him. That's why these days, if you're getting afraid, go to God. Say, you know what, Father? I'm scared. I'm afraid. And then if you are in His Word, God's going to speak to you. He's like, my little bird, my little daughter, son, why are you worried? Look at the birds. You know, now you're not going to be like some people. You know, if God didn't want me to work, He wouldn't create fishing. No, you're going to work hard. I've never seen opportunity that didn't look like work. Opportunity always looks like work. You don't get rich just like that. You work hard. You save your money. You manage your money. Don't try to achieve everything right now at 20. That person who is like 50, you see, is having those things. It took him years and a lot of work and investment. God provides. And then the last one, see, notice I change it. The last one is tenderly love. And I want to finish this story. It's a story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. You know, for the son to say that, it means the son literally look at his father in his face saying, man, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. You would be dead. Because I know you have an inheritance for me. Because, you know, that's what he said. You know how terrible that is? The word actually, that son was cursed for even asking for his inheritance while his father was still alive. But what happened? A few days later, the younger son, I mean, the father give his inheritance. A few days later, the younger son packed up his belonging and moved to a distant land. There he wasted all his money in the wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the men sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as one of your hired servants.' So he returned home to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love, tenderly loved, abounded love, the father ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. What a father! This is my father! This is what I'm talking about. Even before I think about coming back, the father's heart was wide open. I love this. Embraced him, give him a huge hug. Oh, son! Oh, man! Yes! Kissed him! He said, the son says, "Father, Father, please, I sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father said to his servant, "Quick, listen, I like this story. I mean, this is a good real sermon, but I'm not going to go deep in this. It's a good story. The father didn't have time to really give it to the son. Yeah, you know, you really blew it. The Bible didn't say anything about that stuff. The father was just so excited that the son returned. He quick called the servants, like, "Bring the finest robe in the house and put on him. Get a ring, put on his finger, and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with feast. For this son of mine who was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." See, now this morning, my next slide is a song. That's the song we're going to finish with. And I want you to just receive God's love as your father. If you weren't, I know, maybe, you know, everything I'm saying, you already heard it again. I mean, before. But this morning, I believe the word of the Lord is never wasted. God's word never wasted. I bathe in God's love. This morning, I invite you, as you listen to this to this next song, just bathe in God's love. No matter what your experience have been with fathers. You know, I know some of you, your fathers has been long gone. But today, I tell you, what an awesome father we have. You know, this is a day for you to rejoice in knowing, man, I'm loved. Oh, man, I'm loved by God. I'm loved by Him. He's perfect in all He does. I pray that you continue to experience, as a church, we will continue to experience God's church. And if your father is alive, and you know you can testify he's not perfect, I invite you to forgive again. You know, because days like this just always stir. You know, time doesn't heal. It's a choice. Time, sometimes you think, well, time will heal, and then before you know it, something came up, the name of the person mentioned, Father's Day, and then you hate Father's Day. Why? It's just a day, but it's because they're talking about Father. Would you run to God this morning as your Father? So as we play the next song, it's on the slide actually, Xavier, my last one. As we play this song, make sure the sound is on. I invite you, just, you know, I'm going to play that song twice. You know, Den's not going to come up here. This is going to be our last song. But I just want you to just bathe in that. You know, the first time you're going to watch it, read the word. The second time, I want you to pray. I want you to close your eyes, go to God as your Father, and see what happens. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that.
Wipe the tears.
you run into God's arms. That's what I do. And I encourage you to keep doing that. You know, I wish a happy Father's Day to every father's here and out there. yeah, this is good. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just keep running to His arms this week, no matter what you're going through.